I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. I sometimes think that there should be a special medal presented to those who come to listen to the sermon on Stewardship Sunday. You're very brave. Thank you for coming today. You could have stayed away. I'm preaching to the converted because many of you here are already generous givers to this church. And before anything else is said, I want to say a big thank you to those of you who have given and do give so wonderfully and generously to support and sustain our work. I often think of Christian faith as being like a three-dimensional or even four-dimensional tapestry, with currents and ideas forming and reforming, blending and dividing through the ages. Simple concepts like, for example, the Lamb of God or the Son of Man have roots which go right back into early Hebrew thought, which emerged in the ferment of ideas which moved between cultures in ancient times, all of which are still part of the Christian faith today. What we believe is many-layered, many-sided, manifold. One of the most exciting strands of biblical theology for me is the concept of abundance, not the abundance of the right-wing preachers, those who preach all the time about prosperity to those who subsidize their TV channels and their lavish lifestyle, but rather the abundance which underwrites the whole of the created order, the abundance of God's blessing on all things and on each of us. From the story of creation onwards, the Bible bears witness to faith in a God who does not hold back in any way. The seas teem with fish. Trees and plants spread and cover the earth, and animals and human beings are sent out to fill the earth, not to hide in some dark corner, but to fill it, to enjoy it, to rejoice in the blessings which God has poured out so abundantly. Throughout the Old Testament, we see many, many examples of God's abundance. Particularly for me, I think in the kingdom of David and then of Solomon after him, where God's blessing was described as a golden age, a blessing of peace, a blessing of prosperity, the abundance of God's goodness. And this has fed into our own tradition in the messianic promise of God's abundant blessing at the end of time. In the New Testament, we also see many, many examples of the abundance of God. Abundance of food for the feeding of thousands. Abundance of wine for the wedding at Cana in Galilee. Abundant fish in the Galileans' nets. Abundant, brilliant light around the transfigured Jesus. And of course, abundant life in the resurrection in which we share. And then in John's Gospel, chapter 10, Jesus puts it into clear and simple words for his followers. He explains God's intention for each one of us. I have come that they may have life and have it in all its fullness. This brings us then nicely to the issue of our giving to God and our giving to the church. God is not mean, but is abundantly generous. And we should be too. We are made in God's image, and this is one of the ways in which we are called to be like God. And so, my thank you to all of those who give already so generously to St. Peter's. You inspire me. You are the unsung heroes of the work of God in this place. We could not be here without you. Thank you very much indeed. It costs £1,200 a day to run St. Peter's. I've just discovered that that's half the cost of running Westminster Cathedral. £1,200 a day, £440,000 a year. I think that that money is very, very well spent. If you look at the huge number of people and the activities which go on here for good, for blessing, and for the glory of God throughout the year. The poppets, which meet twice a week, the church is heaving with pushchairs on a Monday and on a Friday. The youth group who meet tonight, keeping young people connected to the church. 14 or so AA meetings, which happen for hundreds of people throughout the week here in the meeting room, welcome boxes and saksha, pastoral care and weekly services, beautiful liturgy and worship and wholeness for families, concerts and rehearsals, charity and community meetings, social events and memorial services for people who lived locally. We're organising three at the moment. School assemblies, singing contests and services, abundant life, so much. Shaping the minds of the young and of the not so young. Shaping our hearts as well. Working for good in our community and in our city, supporting and sustaining each of you who are God's hands and feet and heart and voice in the world. The abundance. But it comes, of course, at a price, and the price here is £1,200 a day. That's a number I can't get away from. Three quarters of that comes from our rents, from the rental of the crypts, from the car park around us, from events, and from our very, very modest investments. And the rest, over £100,000 each year, must come from you and from me, from our congregational giving. And at the moment, to be honest, we aren't managing this. And in fact, we haven't been managing this for the last few years. This year, as in recent years, we will have a deficit. And that deficit can't go on very much longer. So on this Stewardship Sunday, I would like to invite each one of us, myself included, to hold in mind the abundance of God and to think about how we can get our giving to God and to the church to be more abundant too. I chose the lovely account from Exodus, which you've heard, of how the people offered their gifts for the building of the sanctuary. I really love this story. The people kept on giving and giving and giving, and in the end Moses had to tell them to stop because they had already brought quite enough so that all the work could be completed. I'd love that to be the case here as well. I chose the reading from 1 Timothy, where Paul instructs those who are wealthy to be generous in sharing, so that the work of God can go on and they may have treasure in heaven. And I chose the reading from Luke about the building of bigger barns, the man who had so much that he had to keep building more places to put his stuff in. I used to read that to our children from a children's book when they were small, and it had very amusing pictures of the man scratching his head and thinking about how he can build barns even bigger, and then how he died. How many barns does anybody need? How many properties? How many investments? Possessions can own us and can chain us to a life of spiritual poverty. Far better to share that abundance and see its blessing multiplied in the kingdom of God. This is the one Sunday of the year, then, when I talk from the pulpit, as it were, our mobile pulpit, about money. And so I invite each of us to give generously and joyfully and abundantly and gratefully, because it is a great privilege to be able to give. If any of you here are newer members of the church and you don't already have regular giving set up, please, please start regularly giving from your bank. And if you are a regular giver already, as many of you I know are, please ask yourself if your giving is really realistic for the need and for your circumstances, and for the opportunities which we have to put those gifts to work. Last year, somebody scratched their head and asked me how much was it reasonable for them to give. And I couldn't give an answer to that. Each of us have to sort that out ourselves with God. But I did explain that perhaps they could have given more, and they went away and did that. In fact, they gave three times as much as they were giving before because they just hadn't thought about how realistic their giving ought to be and how great the need and the opportunity really is. Our giving should be a priority for each of us. It should be something also that every one of us who is a member, an active attending member of this church, does so that the cost and the responsibility and the blessing is shared among us all. Today we are launching a new way of giving to St Peter's. It's called the Parish Giving Scheme. It's very simple. It's a new programme run by the diocese to reduce the responsibility and the administration of running a giving scheme. The diocese takes over from us the responsibility for organising the way in which our money has its tax reclaimed for those of us who are taxpayers, and the parish has that money sent to us promptly. It reduces our administrative costs considerably, and it also allows those of us who want to allow a small inflationary rise in the amount we give each year so that the church's income doesn't diminish with inflation. It's a really good and successful scheme which has been rolled out across the country and is now here in London. And so we're joining it today. John Hillary, our stewardship officer, who is here, has information packs and forms for each of us if we would like to join. So if you're fairly new and don't already have regular giving, please take a form and join the parish giving scheme. It's very quick and easy to set up. If you already have a standing order from your bank, we would strongly encourage you to swap over to the new parish giving scheme. It's not difficult, it just means terminating your current agreement with the bank and signing the new form. And if you use gift aid envelopes, as many here still do, please, please, please do give regularly from your bank instead. It's best for you, it's best for us. That way, you don't ever have to bring cash to church again, and we know how much income we're likely to receive each month. Thank you. I promise not to preach on stewardship until this time next year, and I thank you for your support, for your love, and for your generosity. Let us pray. God of abundance, you have created all things and all people in an act of generous love. You have given us life itself and abundant life in Christ your Son. Make us mindful of the ways in which we can give to you, to the church and to others, and fill our hearts with your generous and abundant Spirit. Amen.